Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Now we'll be talking about Loki, the new Disney Plus series that has just started. Of course, I'm my co-host, Andy from Saskatoon.
Good evening.
Also with us is Red Ink.
Hello.
Alright, so we're going to talk about Loki, the Disney Plus series. How do you feel about the just overall? First two episodes have aired by the time of this recording, and what is your initial first impression? Go, JT.
I'm intrigued, and given that it's a time travel series, I am hesitant to posit ideas as where they're going, because timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly, but I really enjoyed the first two episodes. The second one, a little bit more than the first, but I'm ready to ride this crazy train. How about you, Red?
For me, it doesn't live up to the hype that everybody gave it. It's meh so far. Maybe it'll get better later on. Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah. I will say that one reveal at the end of the second episode, and we will get to that in discussion. I was putting my money on a different person acting in that role than what we saw.
I think everyone was, and that's why there's sadness.
Well, it's not who you think it is.
Yeah, I don't know why. Sorry, Red.
I figured out who it was before she even showed her face.
Alright.
But
I think that was pretty succinct, but yes, we'll get to that. We'll get to spoilers in a minute. Overall, I saw the series. I saw episode one and episode two. And something Red has always said about the sizzle reel. And all the trailers, all the promos we saw for Loki, 80% of the things we saw were from the first episode. The only thing that was not in the first episode, or the second episode for that matter, that was in the promos was the Loki for president thing. Everything else was there. And
I mean, there was a couple of things, like the knife flip in combat. That's probably from another episode.
Granted, but I think that the sizzle reel is strong with this, that this was very heavily promoted a certain way. And usually you give a good argument that, oh, they're trying to keep things under wraps, trying to hide things. But movies nowadays, it's really hard to hide details. Really hard. And same with TV shows. It's extremely hard to hide who's going to play who as what. But it felt a little too by the numbers here in the first two episodes. It also felt like, and we're going to go into spoilers here, that in the first episode they tried really, really hard to rush Loki to, by the viewer's perspective, not saying in actuality, but by the viewer's perspective, move Loki to a position emotionally and mentally very close to where he was in the MCU proper before he died, by having him watch the moments with his brother, having him watch his own death. And that is simply because the Loki, as we are seeing here, is the one that was literally 5 minutes after the battle for New York in the first Avengers movie, so this is full-on villain Loki. And it's really hard to redeem him. So you have to sort of get him fast-tracked there. Is he actually really touched by these moments he's watched of his real life, or is he playing everyone?
I think he was. Like, what? When it shows him watching his mom die, he watches his dad die, and he watches the moments with his brother, and how his brother, he gets closer with his brother again, like he was when he was a kid. And I think that actually touches him, but that's all erased the moment he sees himself fucking die.
I don't think it was really erased as, I mean, it's definitely taken like that huge step back. It's just, We get that emotional thing, and he's like, "That, well, I'm he's gonna, now he's in full on scheming mode. He's gonna do what he can to prevent that outcome from happening. I never like to say, like, when full on villainous Loki, and we should clarify that it's not that he was like evil Loki or anything, like how some of the comics have portrayed Loki as being like, I'll get you next time, Thor. But he's definitely a villain, and it's Disneyfied Marvel, so outside of certain villains, there's always a chance some of them can be redeemed like that, which is kind of why I like the play that Mobius M. Mobius, you know, Owen Wilson, who, I love the fact that he's playing the character that's based on Mark Gruenwald, who's the guy who's the chief architect of the TVA in Marvel Comics, and how he makes that play to his, like, you know, not salvation, but redemption. And then you go from that into the second episode where Loki's, you know, he's got the shirt and the tie and he's got a cubicle and kind of has that little adversarial relationship with Miss Minutes, like the clock AI who's like testing him on TVA agent knowledge, who I thought that sounded familiar in the first episode. That's Tara Strong, and I thought that was kind of cool to have her in there.
I knew it was Tara Strong immediately. She always sounds like Tara Strong.
Yeah, but I love that trend, how they end that. The whole first episode is essentially, like Ben said, like, we got to get Loki to a certain spot, and then, you know, the story begins. I honestly thought they were going to end that first episode where the unit of Minutemen from the TVA go to, I forget what year was it at the end there where the variant like sets them all on fire.
It was the 1920s, I believe, but it was like a farm field in South Carolina, yeah, or something like that.
I thought for sure they were going to end the first episode with the reveal.
Well, I knew they weren't going to do the reveal, but at the same time, I knew that they were setting up another actor as Loki. And because they were very careful about, oh, there's a cloak, you don't see anything, you don't even see a vague shape. And it was really obvious. But what I thought was really insulting was the second episode where they started that presentation of, oh, Loki, we've killed so many fucking Lokis, but, you know, there's always, like, there's, like, thousands of different Lokis, and they showed holograms of, here's a Hulk Loki, here's a lizard Loki, here's an old man Loki, and they were just basically beating over the head. These Lokis they're hunting could be anything.
Didn't find that particularly insulting. I thought it was a bit much, but it goes to the whole, you know, cops having to work with a criminal aspect sort of thing, that they're, you know, really laying that on thick with that briefing before they go to the Ren Faire. Although one thing I did call in my head when I watched that first episode, and after the Ren Faire thing, like the variants collecting these, I forget, what do they call the disintegrator grenades? They had a proper title for those.
I forgot the title, but basically what they do is they eliminate the timeline.
Yeah, those time grenades, that I was like, okay, the variant, I thought the variant was going to launch those into the TVA itself in an attempt. Like, where they go to Super Mega Walmart in that second episode, and you see them dropping through the little things. I was like, oh, they're hoop. But no, it's a chaos bomb, and the sacred timeline starts growing all these wild branches. It's like it's a plant in a horror movie.
Well, the plan is obvious. The plan is super fucking obvious, at least to me, and I think to Ray as well, is that one agent says, I gave them everything. I told them where the timekeepers are, and then you watch as all these incursions are happening. I'm going to call them incursions or nexus points or whatever the fuck. And immediately after that happened, you watch all these agents fucking storming through time doors to go to all these different Nexus points to fix shit. Instantly, they're all running. Guess what? Now the TVA is empty.
Or is it? I mean, the one thing I appreciate in that first episode where you see, like, the Time Variance Authority's HQ, they're in this space beyond time, and it stretches out to infinity. I mean, granted, there's not as many agents there. I don't think they emptied it out. And the one thing, I mentioned this when we talked in our, I forget if it was with that Marvel episode we did recently, or if it was just off mic, the whole idea of this group of nerds declaring, you know, this is what matters. And I don't know if that's just a commentary on gatekeeping or the nerds who are still butthurt that Marvel or DC through Marvel declared, you know, the Star Wars Expanded Universe no longer canon. It might be a commentary on that. And they're talking about how, you know, what Loki did, taking the Tesseract and pimping out to, you know, Mongolia. And you violated the sacred timeline. And then Loki's like, yeah, what about what the Avengers did when they went back in time and, you know, I got the Tesseract? Aren't they a threat now? It's like, no, that was meant to happen. I mean, that's literally like a kid when you play a game of tag. He's like, nuh-uh, I have this superpower. It doesn't, like, I can't wait to see that house of cards come falling down. But the manner in which it comes falling down is what I'm interested in seeing. Because you know it's going to fall apart.
Well, that's the whole point of this is obviously may not be the Loki series itself, but it might start here. There's going to be a multiverse. That is obvious, because if not for the fact that the next Doctor Strange movie is literally called Multiverse of Madness, the fact that they are fast-tracking a live-action Spider-Verse movie should be all the hints you need that there is going to be a multiverse. That the sacred timeline thing and them hand waving, oh, the Avengers were supposed to do that. This all screams of like higher up edicts of, we don't care how you explain it, just explain it, get the plot moving. Because this is another case of if you stopped and thought 5 minutes.
So now,
to their credit, the narrative is so fast-paced that you could watch this and not need to stop and think for 5 minutes. So the suspension of disbelief, while strained, does not break.
So what you're saying is the timekeepers are really the higher-ups at Marvel and Disney?
Yes.
I mean, I would love to have one of the timekeepers have them, their secret identity is Kevin Feige.
No.
That would be perfect. I'm going to ask you, Red, what did you think of that second episode with like how evil Loki was like transferring its influence from person to person like that?
Well, when it started transferring its person to person, and then Loki says, "You're enchanting people." That's a cheap trick. I instantly knew who it was.
Who was it?
It was Amara, the Enchantress. Because when Loki's talking to her, he's like, "Well, he calls her Loki," and he's like, and she says, "Don't call me that. That's not my name."
Yeah. You know, and I'm honestly surprised that they haven't had, like, a mention of... Because if you look at, like, A-tier and B-tier characters in the Marvel Asgardian mythos, you would think we got Scourge the Executioner. You'd think we would have had at least a mention of the Enchantress.
She was mentioned in a defunct series.
Yeah, that was a different character altogether, though.
That was a different character.
But Sif mentions her.
Yeah. Forgot about that.
This goes back.
I guess
to,
I should say.
This goes back to the whole. How do you guys feel about? about whole slews of plots and characters that could be used for movies being thrown to the wayside. Question I asked Red about a week ago when it comes to Hulk villains, but that's another story. Honest truth with the Lokis is we know there's going to be multiple Lokis. I think that that's without question. We know that there's going to be an old man Loki played by who again?
Richard E. Grant.
Yes. And there's going to be a kid Loki because kid Loki was used in the comics a few years back. I don't know if kid Loki was popular, but I know that he was
used. He was in the first episode.
Yes. But, Red, you know what I'm talking about. The kid Loki that was in the comics. Yeah. Was he popular or was he just used?
A fair bit, I would say. Not huge.
Okay. I still think Sith Loki's going to be a thing. So we have at least three, and I'm going to use finger quotes here because I think Red's Enchantress angle has some merit. We're going to have at least three known, quote, Lokis showing up that aren't Tom Hiddleston.
It's not a theory. It's guaranteed that's Amara.
Look, I think it has traction. We'll see what they do because this is a case of you might be giving Disney too much credit. Who knows? I might be wrong. You might not be giving Disney too much credit. But
the point is it's dangerous to give Disney too much credit.
Well,
if that is Omara, uh-huh. It's disappointing because the actress looks like single female lawyer.
I thought it was Kim Cattrall for a second when that hood came off.
Dude, Kim Cattrall, even today, is hotter than that actress.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking that initial is like, does that Kim? No, it's not Kim Cattrall, just in that moment.
Like Kim Cattrall from Mannequin, though, Jesus Christ. That's just an aside.
What, you don't like that movie, Ben?
I'm saying Kim Cattrall Mannequin was fucking hot as hell.
And technically she's still hot as hell, but
I know, but
I digress.
But I'm just saying that it's not even comparable. Now I have a bad feeling about episode 3 because we have in episode 2 we have Loki discovering that the quote variant Loki or variant Lokis, as I think we're going to see, hide out and use apocalypses as temporary safe houses and bunkers because everything's going to get destroyed anyway, so there's no danger of Loki revealing himself in these timelines. So the way I see it is this, is, you know, you have Loki chasing after Enchantress through the time door. I think we're going to have a council of Lokis next episode. I think that that is a possibility because I think that the writers are just gonna fucking go there immediately. Just fucking go there.
If they do a council of Lokis, I swear to God, I will eat my fucking underwear.
Well, you better make sure you put a clean underpair on before you watch that episode, Red.
That is a terrible fucking idea.
Oh, I agree. I totally fucking agree. It's a terrible fucking idea.
So what if they do a council of Kangs?
Rufus Kangs?
Well, I mean, it would be the third time they've done a council of something within Marvel, because you had the Council of Kangs, and then you had the Council of Reeds when Hickman was writing Fantastic Four.
Don't remind me.
Too late. Sorry, you were saying, Red.
Well, the whole point of the Council of Reeds is to prove that if Reed Richards ever abandoned his family, he would become a massive fucking dickhead. That's all it was for.
I don't think that proved that at all. He's still a massive dickhead with his family. He's just nicer about it.
Reed Richards can be autistic, like, ignore fucking people and shit, but he's not a dickhead.
But yeah, so, like, the whole way Loki... I mean, there are familiar beats, and it's in the setup of a bad guy being forced to do good that we've seen time and time again. So I'm just put that, yeah, it's rote, it's a trope, putting that to the side. I did like the way within the internal logic of the series, how he figured out, you know, the apocalypse hidey holes, and that little bit of comedy where, you know, Wilson and Hiddleston go back to Pompeii, and he's like, can't you do something like make a bird sound? Luke, he just looks at him and he's like, do you even know who you're talking to? And then he goes out and he just acts like a complete lunatic for a minute. And all the long overdrawn way to prove that, yeah, that he can do whatever he wants in these moments before shit goes south.
Yeah.
I honestly thought that gun was going to be like calling it Cub Louie. It's like at some point somebody's going to pack a bomb into that thing. Like something's going to get blown up by that, I guarantee you.
Probably. Now, one thing I do have to hand is the people working on the Disney Plus Marvel shows, the set designers, the prop makers, the people who design the costumes, stuff like that, are top notch. They really are, because all the way back in WandaVision, they were able to capture the sitcom feel perfectly visually and everything. And here, the TVA captures that look of 1960s bureaucracy almost perfectly. But the other thing I have to add is there is a strong pour of fallout in the design of the technology in that. And that sort of, because at first I was looking at it, this looks really nice, it looks really retro, but I've seen this before, what is this? And then I was rewatching how they like did the Miss Minutes cartoon, and I'm like, oh, that's fucking like a Vault Boy cartoon. Okay, yeah, they're totally Fallout aping here.
Yeah, when they did that animated bit with the timekeepers and how they create, you know, the multiversal time war and all that, I honestly thought that was a callback to that, some of the stilted animation they used with the original Marvel cartoons in the 60s.
No, it's more like those King Features cartoons, the ones with, what's it called, Bullwinkle and Rocky and...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that works too, just specifically it being a Marvel property.
But, like I said, I feel the amount of Fallout usage is very strong. Like, the computer consoles look like the Fallout computers, the cartoons obviously look like Vault Boy cartoons. It's really strong, and... You know, still props to the prop designers and the costume guys and the set makers, because they have the feeling captured, but it you know, when I, not immediately because it took me a minute, but when I went to Fallout, I'm like, oh yeah.
No.
You know, but the other thing I have to add is I did like the fact that the TVA is so bureaucratic, so full of paperwork that I like the fact that there's a fucking drawer of Infinity Gems.
Oh, the office paperweights?
Yes. Because that sort of makes sense that a lot of the variants would be people trying to fucking steal these baubles of ultimate power, right?
Yeah, but and I think that goes to the, you know, the mentality of, you know, this, there is one sacred timeline, like, again, how the House of Cards is going to come falling down, like... And the whole reason the Infinity Stones, gems, what have you, don't work in the TVA, because they're outside the normal flow of space, time, and all that other good stuff in the universe. So, you know, when you're outside of that zone, like, yeah, why would anything as powerful as the Infinity Gems not work? And you're right about that 60s, 70s, like retro chic look that they got going on, that really leans into it, especially in that first, in the first episode where Loki's, you know, stripped down, he's got his, please sign this to make sure this is everything you've ever said, what, now sign this, and then he's going through the line, he has the ticket, and there's that other guy who, I don't know what his deal was, but he comes off like the spoiled son of a mob boss. And then, you know, he just goes up to the front, he gets disintegrated, and Loki's like, shit, shit, I got the ticket. It's right here.
Yep.
Which also kind of made me think, that whole sequence made me think of the whenever you go to the Netherworld support office in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
You know, it had that taste like that.
They were definitely aping off of several sources there. That's without question.
What was I thinking? The, because we talked about, we thought, you know, got the Amora, the Enchantress, as, you know, the variant that Loki, our Loki, hero Loki, is chasing. And like I said, I really thought Jamie Alexander, like, they were going to bring, it was the fan rumor mainly, but she was supposed to, it was rumored she was going to come back and be the female Loki, which is how they did it in the comics when they brought Thor back after he ended the Asgardians for a time. Don't know if I'm really ready for that.
I would have welcomed that. It's I'm not sure if the actress has the chops to go full ham.
Ham.
Yeah. But still, I would have welcomed that over this, because unnamed actress that doesn't even really like do anything. It's not good. It's not a good time. It. Because I don't know who
no
she
joy.
Is. No joy. It's like Red said, single female lawyer. That's exactly how I feel. It's like, oh, it's just some random actress that we've seen a million times already. I am not excited. It's just there. It's a thing. And I'm like, well, that's a thing. And where I'm going with this is I feel like there's missed opportunities here, and I feel like this whole thing is just to get a Loki back in the MCU for use as a later Marvel villain, and also an excuse to get the multiverse sort of wedged into people's consciousness without fully introducing it. And that makes it really hard to get invested in this series, because I know in my heart of hearts that they can't do anything too earth-shattering to the MCU in just this one series. Anything that happens in this series has to be explained in at most 5 minutes of exposition dump in another movie. They can't have anything too earth-shattering in here.
Or have 5 minutes exposition in the final episode. It's not going to completely mess up the Marvel multiverse, but it's definitely going to get some, you know, chip away at the foundation, get some cracks growing, I think.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, let's say you're a regular Marvel fan. You don't have Disney Plus. And you watch only the movies. You watched, the last movie you watched was Spider-Man Far From Home. And you're waiting for the next Marvel movie. You watch Black Widow, that's fine, whatever. You don't need to watch anything else to watch Black Widow, enjoy it. And then you watch, Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. And, like, how much do they have to explain to get you from here to there without saying, oh, you have to get Disney Plus and watch Loki to understand what's going on? They can't do that. And I think Kevin Feige understands he can't do that.
Yeah. As anything, because I am loath to say this, because you know I love the Arrowverse, but unfortunately, and I this cannot be argued, the Arrowverse did this better in less than 5 minutes in an episode in the first season of Supergirl when they explained their multiverse.
Yeah, been there. It sucks.
Okay, Ben?
I'm quoting Common. Barry Allen.
Okay, I didn't catch that right away. But yeah, and it's that, like, how do you fuck that up? I mean, really, it's, look at what DC did in less than 5 minutes with a dry erase marker board. You explain the multiverse in a way that everybody, comic fans or regular TV viewers, can understand this. And you guys have to mention, you spend, like, what, 5 minutes total in Far From Home. You dance around it in WandaVision. You're going face first into it with Loki. Like, less is more, guys.
You're not wrong, and like I think the this I again that's what makes it to where I'm looking at this and like, what are the stakes? What am I worried about? Because if the stakes aren't about the MCU as a whole, the stakes have to be about Loki. We have to care about Loki. Do I care about Loki? Do I care about this Loki? Somewhat. Tom Hiddleston is a charming actor. I love how he plays Loki, but do I care enough of him as a protagonist to care about his plight? Not as much at this time.
I mean, I care, obviously. How about you, Red? Do you care about this Loki and what he's going through right now?
Red?
Oh, I think you might be away from the mic there. Ooh, peeking behind the curtain. Ignore that, folks. All right. No, I, like I said, I do care about this Loki. And yeah, Tom Hiddleston, great actor. And you know, one thing I should mention, I loved it. It was one of the things I loved about the first Loki trailer was the whole D.B. Cooper thing. Loki, D.B. Cooper. I can't begin to express how much I love that. Now, here's the thing. I love the fact it was this one and done highlight of Loki's life, and he lost a Becca Thor, and that's it.
I was hoping that D.B. Cooper had something to do with time traveling and finding variants and something like that. Versus a really quick joke. And
throwaway gag?
Yeah, I felt like they were building up the D.B. Cooper thing because people were like, oh my god, he's D.B. Cooper! They were screaming about it. And it turns out, no, it's just a gag.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like that. And it's sometimes I think things like that, like the D.B. Cooper bit, it's a necessary tension breaker, and it's adds a little something to Loki's character in, while he is very much smarter than his brother and he is much more cleverer than his brother, he isn't infallible. Like he is not incapable of being fooled or losing a contest. And I think that's something that is going to play into the story and, you know, in the back, two-thirds of the series, because again it's only six episodes, again like Falcon and Winter Soldier, I think that's going to come into the line somewhere. That might even be the chink in the armor that Loki uses to stop the variant's plan. That if there's one thing that all Lokis have is this belief in their innate superiority in terms of fucking with people, like they can't be fucked with. And I very much think that's going to happen. So, it looks like you're back, Red. Like I said, what do you feel for this version of Loki? Do you care about his character and, you know, the stuff he's going through?
Not really. Because they keep fucking saying, oh, you're a variant, you're not real, blah, blah, blah. If you're going to give me that narrative, then of course I'm not going to give a shit. Mm-hmm.
Although he did kind of play with that in the second episode, and that whole where him and Mobius have that moment of introspection where he's asking him about the jet skis and, well, you know, the timekeepers created all this and he created you. And it's like, how do you know you're real? And I mean, that's a little too heavy maybe, but I think if one thing I think may happen by the end, and if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to be surprised because Lord knows I'm not writing the show. The idea of like the timekeepers having created the TVA, like either they're going to end it with like Loki in the final episode where Mobius sacrifices himself and Loki has his own Agent Coulson moment.
I don't think they're going to go that route.
Really?
I don't think they're going to go that route, man.
All right. The other way I think they might end it, and I've seen it in a fan theory video I was watching on YouTube the other day, is what is one thing Owen Wilson is known for?
Starting with Ben Stiller.
No. One yes. Word that he is known for. Wow. The fan theory of the video, they posited this, and I would love if this actually happens, is they have an end credit scene in the last episode, you know, leading into Multiverse of Madness and all that craziness that, you know, it's the TVA, Mobius is going about his thing. He sees this scan about some major kerfluffle about to kick off, and he goes, what? And scene, like how they almost did Avengers Assemble in Age of Ultron.
Now, if you want to talk about how I predict how this series will end, I think that that's pretty obvious, is we're going to end with the timeline is mostly back in shape. And everyone feels like, okay, you know, all the variants are the time. We got a smooth line again. We're smooth line, people. Everyone cheers. And it's like, well, it's too bad Loki sacrificed himself to get things going again. And it turns out Loki was able to, through some devious means, able to jolt the timeline just a little bit to where he's able to, like, put himself back in the timeline and make it, like, that's okay. And that's how I think they're going to end the series of everything's fixed again, but Loki was able to change reality just enough. That's how I predict it.
He's able to guarantee his survival?
Yes. That's
everything's coming up, Milhouse?
That's exactly how I predicted. I think that that is the obvious answer. What do you think, Red?
It's fucking Disney Plus. They never do what most people would think you should do. My fucking thing is it's going to be a stupid fucking ending, just like WandaVision. Basically throwing everything away. The big reveal is there is no sacred timeline. There's a multiverse this whole time, and the timekeepers aren't real.
I think the timekeepers are real. They're just assholes.
I think they are real as well, but I think it's kind of more how they act in the comics, because even with what I've read of the TV and the comics, they're not very hands-on. They're out there, and the TV was built up around their mystique, or it's either that, or it comes out that Judge Ravana is actually working for Kang, and he's created this thing after dealing with the timekeepers, and he mentions Immortus. Or Immortus is the one behind the TVA. I mean, it's, like I said, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly. There's too many variants. There's too much information.
I would love it if they somehow mentioned Kang, but I don't think they're...
Yeah, that's a long shot. You have to keep in mind that... I don't know if Kang was in the Marvel catalog exactly, or if he was part of some sort of weird... because he was kind of integral parts of the X-Men storyline, parts of the Fantastic Four storyline, so...
How was he in the X-Men storyline?
And Sabin Nor stole his ship?
That was a Celestial ship, wasn't it?
Well,
Are you talking about the Sphinx?
Yeah.
No. You're talking about dumb fucking 90s comics that make no goddamn sense. I'm Cable, and I'm hunting you, and... I'm using your time ship.
Oh, it wasn't created by Rob Liefeld yet. I just like pouches. Lots of pouches. No, I think if they bring
Wild
Kang...
Wild Man of Borneo.
No, I think Kang or Immortus to have like that, like an end credit scene, you know, like how we see Wanda, you know, reading from the Darkhold and all that. Either or, I think Kang would be the more appropriate choice because we already know Kang's coming in Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Immortus might be a thing down the line, but then you get into chronal variants in terms of to explain how Immortus is and is not a future version of Kang. And that also leans towards like how the Vision in the comics was and was not built from, you know, Phineas Horton's original, you know, Human Torch. So I think that'll get. I think definitely Kang, or at least some mention of Kang.
There's gonna be no mention. There's gonna be no mention of Kang.
You can't say that for certain, Ben.
Now,
because you don't know.
I want to. If I wasn't so lazy, I would do the Wayne's World flashback sound here, and play back something you said during WandaVision, where you said something like, "Oh, I want the mention of Mephisto," and I think it was Riley says there's not going to be any mention of Mephisto, and you don't know that.
Well, yeah, because at the time. We didn't know there was. I'd say it's possibility. It's the future, and I highly doubt any of us can see the future. It's a possibility. It could happen. It could not. And I'll be pleasantly surprised if it does, and I'll be slightly disappointed if it doesn't. You know, I wanted to see Uncle Ben in the, at least a flashback of Uncle Ben in the. Tom Holland Spider-Man's. We haven't got that yet, and probably never will. But
Peter, see what happens. Take my hand, Peter.
What we will see.
Take my hand.
We will see an older gentleman playing Uncle Ben as the Uncle Ben Spider-Man when they do fucking Spider-Verse.
So they're not gonna follow the comic at all.
They're not gonna follow the comic at all, but they're gonna pick some really weird fucking Spider-Man. Guaranteed, they're gonna pick some weird Spider-Man.
I kind of want to see punk rock Spider-Man. Like what they had in the comics. But as far as this goes, like now, you know, we said Richard E. Grant's going to be in here. He's, like you said, he's going to be playing old man Loki. Now, do you think he's going to play? Do you want him to play in kind of aristocratic as Richard E. Grant is known to play characters? Or do you want him like wild-eyed and cackling, you know, rubbing his hands, you know, Mr. Burns, excellent
kind of Loki? I want him wild-eyed and cackling, but he's going to be playing it very, very, what's it called, sophisticated. Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to have him sophisticated.
That would be cool. Just have Tom Hiddleston... Richard E. Grant sitting down at the table having a drink and them going back and forth at each other.
Pretty much, yeah.
And which one do you want, Red? Sophisticated or cackling madman?
It's Richard E. Grant. Of course he's going to be sophisticated. He doesn't do cackling madman that often.
Yeah. Actually, I just got to look it up here. What was the... show, the Crossing Jordan, they had an English actor on that show who has a very kind of what's his name, Bug or something. Talk amongst yourselves, I'll figure it out. No, that's not it. He looks very much like a younger Richard E. Grant. That guy, if I can find his name.
Okay, well, while we're talking amongst ourselves, Red.
Steve Valentine.
Okay. Red, do you want Sith Loki?
I'd rather have Sith Loki, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. JT, do you want Sith Loki?
I want Sith Loki in the worst way possible, and I want her wearing that low-cut dress from the comics.
And the crow's feathers cape?
Yeah, that Cruella de Vil number that she had. But it's Jamie Alexander, and that woman is beautiful.
Okay.
How about you, Ben?
Yes. Yes, I want that, because I think that would be more visually interesting than what we got. Now, we've made predictions of where the show is going to go. We've talked about how we thought the first two episodes were. Now, here's the question I want to ask. Other than the fact that we talk about it, are you looking forward to watching the rest of this series?
Yes. I want to see where, like I said at the beginning of the episode, I want to see where this crazy train ends up. Good or bad.
All right. Red?
Well, of course I want to watch it. I'm going to see what happens, but I don't have high expectations for.
Lowered expectations. I'm feeling the same way. This doesn't feel as much of a quagmire as WandaVision became. But I'm not having high hopes after this second episode. I feel like there are no stakes for me. I don't care about this Loki as a protagonist or his plight. And I also know they can't fuck up the MCU with this series because that will hurt the movie viewers. So this feels like an appendix. You could remove it. It's a pair of tonsils.
You know what? That sentiment I agree with, but I honestly, after watching and loving WandaVision, I think WandaVision is the appendix of the MCU.
WandaVision is not the appendix. WandaVision is the cancer.
No, it's the appendix because ultimately I don't think, like, as far as advancing, you know, we see what happens like post blip and all that. We get some, I would say, important information in regards to, you know, events within the greater MCU through WandaVision. You know, we get Captain Marvel 2/Photon. We get Catherine Hahn as Agatha Harkness, which is one of my favorite characters in that show. But ultimately, it doesn't move stuff forward as much as I feel Loki is going to move stuff forward. You know, it's going to give us a greater understanding of the Marvel multiverse. We get more with Tom Hiddleston playing Loki, because who doesn't want more of that? And overall, yeah, it's just, I think I'm going to have more fun with this than I did with WandaVision. As much as I enjoyed, you know, looking like the sitcom thing and trying to figure out this mystery. But one question I want to ask you guys is, what, if any, crazy fan theory have you guys heard that you, one, if you think it's viable, or one that you think is just like, what the hell are you smoking? Now, the one that I've seen is in that first episode, we see the little girl point to the stained glass window and we see, you know, a devil character in that glass. I knew as soon as I saw that, I was like, look at the comments section after I watched the episode. Yeah, of course, Mephisto. It's always
Mephisto confirmed. Mephisto confirmed.
Yeah, I don't, if Mephisto shows up at all, it's going to be in the future whenever they get around to doing, you know, an MCU Ghost Rider, or possibly with the Silver Surfer, because when I read the Silver Surfer series in the 80s, you know, through like Infinity War and everything, like Mephisto became like a villain to Norrin Rad. I would love to see that, but I don't think he's involved here at all. The fan theory saying like the TVA and, like I mentioned, Kang, I think the Kang fan theory is something, I think it's a little more viable than Mephisto. So what about you guys? What's something you've heard with fan theories you think might be viable and one that's just out to lunch?
Honestly, I try to avoid the fan theories because after the whole Mephisto, it's Mephisto, no way, it's Nightmare, no way, it's Mephisto bullshit that happened with WandaVision, I just sort of tuned that shit out because when I was watching the WandaVision, I found myself looking for clues that didn't exist, and then I sort of had to realize, hey, wait a minute, these people are full of shit. Let's stop watching them, and let's just watch the show itself and use my own knowledge of the MCU to try to make my own conclusions, because what they're doing is they're planting weird seeds in my brain that makes me look for shit that ain't there.
Okay. Feel about the same, Red?
I avoid fan theories because they tend to come up with better fucking better plot lines than actually happens in the fucking show. So I don't want to get my hopes up.
Okay. One last thing. Is yes or no, or on a scale of 1 to 5, how much do you think Loki is going to influence the X-Men or the Fantastic Four showing up? I think it's 2. If anything, with time travel and everything, that's something very much more in the Fantastic Four wheelhouse. So I think maybe we'll get a reference or a mention of a Dr. Richards at best. It's not going to be huge. It's not going to be changing the game, but I think we might actually get a mention of the FF with Loki.
No.
The same like with WandaVision. Everybody's like, oh, she called this mysterious scientist. It's going to be Dr. Doom. It's going to be Reed Richards. It's going to be
either or. Your girlfriend.
And it turned out to be nothing. It just some dumb fucking wagon that she rammed into the fucking dome.
Yeah.
And anyone that's been stuck in mud knows you don't just keep gunning it to try and get out, because that never works.
Well,
so.
And it's the same with this. Like, I'm not expecting any mention of the Fantastic Four or the X-Men or any property, because Kevin Feige is sitting on those properties, and I know why. It's because how they produced in the past. Like, the Fantastic Four movies were fucking awful, because Fox just wanted to keep the rights to the fucking Fantastic Four, so they just put together garbage.
And you didn't like Captain America?
What?
As Johnny Storm?
He was okay. He wasn't that great, though. And then the other fucking movies, Fox, they were on a high, and they made fucking Dark Phoenix and New Mutants, and pretty much tanked the fucking property by the time Marvel got a hold of it. Yeah. Like, Marvel knew New Mutants was fucking bad.
They tried to
suppress it. They delayed it for like 3 fucking years. Yeah,
exactly. A lot of those people don't look anything alike anymore.
Honestly, I think Maisie Williams still looks pretty much the same, but I'm pretty sure she's an immortal to begin with. Although the guy who played Cannonball, wasn't he like the older brother from Stranger Things?
Yeah.
But so Loki.
Yes. Again, I don't have high hopes. I feel like the show is going to be okay. I'm not going to rush to watch it. I'm going to watch it, but it's not one of those, oh my God, I can't wait to see it, because there's no investment. I don't care about this Loki emotionally. I don't care about him as a character. I don't care about his plight. I don't care about him as a protagonist. I don't think this is going to change anything in MCU. So I'm watching it, I'm like, this affects nothing.
There is going to be one effect, and that is they're bringing Loki back from the dead. True. That's all.
Exactly right.
You know what would be real fun is if he goes to a timeline where Loki and Sif fell in love, and just the image of Sif kissing Loki is going to be enough to make me, okay, now I'm invested. It's time travel. Anything can happen.
But, and I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to fucking be that guy. The whole thing is, they tried to establish is the instant, the second that something in the timeline goes wrong, they're on top of it. They go, oh, there's this variant showed up. We got to fix it right fucking now. So how could that happen? How could the timeline go so far that a Loki grew up to be a woman, as a woman, because when the second that the Loki popped out of fucking whatever ice giants, whatever,
Coot.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, wait.
Then you got the Deadpool scene with fucking Agent Mobius instead of Deadpool.
I know, but you get my point, is because they try to establish, oh, we're still on fucking top of this, that a fucking, you know, variant time stream and time nexus only exists for 5 fucking minutes, and then it's like, well, gee, how did this happen?
That's why I think there's no sacred timeline. I think there's an actual fucking multiverse. It's just they're preventing them from crossing over. That's why they have a red line. You can't go past this red line. Well, if you go past the red line, you're going to cross over into another fucking multiverse.
Yeah. What? I mean, they haven't explained why the multiverse is such a bad thing. It's just, we know there was a war and multiple timelines went to war with each other.
We're told there's a war. We aren't shown shit.
That's what I mean. Like, we don't see the results of when we get past the red line, like what actually happens. But in terms of, God, you just said it. The multiverse is there. It's just the, and how the female Loki happened and how could they miss this? It's the arrogance of a bureaucracy that's so large. Like I said, this is going to come down like a flaming house of cards. And there's going to be like some pencil neck geek with like the two thick glasses. Like, why did it all go wrong? And Loki's just sitting there. It's like, you guys tried to control everything and you can't control everything. Like, even in this second episode, he says, like, what, no chaos? Like, you can't have order without chaos. You can't have, you know, or chaos without order. Like, you need to have that balance. And invariably in stories like this, when you have one side trying to just go fanatically in one direction, eventually shit goes south. But yeah, the multiverse is always there. I think it's just, there's a reason why the timekeepers are hiding it or preventing a greater multiverse than whatever is currently present. But, you know, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yes, we shall. But again, I don't have high hopes for this series. I'm going to watch it, but I don't have high hopes. I think we've said everything we need to say. This is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Reading.
We're saying goodnight.
So long.
Peace out.